Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's Advent. Advent is it means coming, the coming of Christ. It's the beginning of the church year. And the church year is really divided into two halves. The first half is, it really kind of retells the story of Jesus from the beginning of his coming until, he comes at Christmas, if you're not aware of that. And then the season of his miracles and all the works that he does. And then, of course, Lent leads us into his passion, his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension. And then we have the second half of the church year, which starts at Pentecost. It's the season of the Holy Spirit, And it lasts all the way through summer into the fall until last Sunday of the church year. Well, Pentecost really directs us during that period of those long months that we just finished on what it means to be a Christian and how we ought to live, the teachings of Christ on what it means to live in our baptism, to become disciples of Christ. But here in Advent, we're looking forward. And we're looking forward not just to getting ready to celebrate Christmas, although we are doing that, but in Advent, we're preparing for the coming of the kingdom of God. We're really preparing for the final coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today's gospel lesson from Matthew, we're preparing for the day when the Lord will come to judge the living and the dead. And Matthew shows us that the world, things are going to be going on in the world, it seems like the same as they always have been. Okay? People are going to be eating and drinking. People are going to be getting married. People are going to be having relationships like regular old relationships like we've always had. People are going to be going to work. People are going to be coming home from work. Everything's going to be normal. And it's going to seem like the world goes on the same for Christians as for non-Christians. Same for unbelievers. But there's going to be a difference. Because on the day of judgment, on the day of Christ's final coming, there's going to be a distinction made between those who are watching and preparing for the kingdom of God and others who are not. So how do we recognize the kingdom of God? What does it look like when we see it? The kingdom of God comes in two ways. First, the kingdom of God comes to us now by grace. It comes to us in the means of grace, in God's holy word, and in baptism, and in holy communion. It comes to us now that way in grace. Now is the day of grace. Then it will come in judgment on the last day, a very different day. You could say there's three Advents, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yesterday, what the Gospels of Matthew and Luke recount concerning here is when Jesus came the first time. The whole Old Testament led up to this, pointed towards it, and here it is laid out for you. In the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, saying, here's Jesus, the first coming of the Son of God. That's yesterday. Today, he comes to you in his word and in his sacrament, in his means of grace, because this is the time of grace. His kingdom of grace is among you to give you the forgiveness of your sins. And finally, he comes on the last day, the second coming, when he comes in judgment. So let us remember when we pray, thy kingdom come. What are we saying? How does God's kingdom come? It comes when our Heavenly Father gives us his Holy Spirit so that by his grace, we're in the day of grace, we may believe his holy word and lead godly lives here in time and there in eternity. We can start our baptismal living, really, we should start it at our baptism. We're living in the day of grace now. And that means we should repent and believe and trust in God's promises. God's kingdom of grace, here's the distinction between believers and non-believers. Believers can see His grace. Believers can trust in His forgiveness that He gives you and He freely offers. Unbelievers just don't see it. You see with eyes of faith that trust in His promises. Well, and you hear it. You trust in His words. By faith, we see that what the world offers to us is darkness. Darkness. Everything that the world values, like seasonal drinking parties, sensuality, gratifying the desires of the flesh, all those things that St. Paul today in the epistle calls works of darkness. He says, so let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling, not in jealousy. Don't walk in these things. He says, walk in light. And what is that? God gives us this gift He calls love. He gives that to us. Walk in love so that you're not thinking about yourself all the time. You're thinking about how you love God and how you love your neighbor. So how has your life been characterized? How would you say? Have you given yourself over to works of darkness? You can take St. Paul's list, orgies and drunkenness, sexual immorality, quarreling, jealousy. Has your life demonstrated that love that puts your neighbor first all the time rather than yourself? Well, behold the mystery of Advent. Jesus comes to love you. He comes to love you. Precisely you. You who have not loved your neighbor as yourself. You who have not obeyed your commandments. You who up to this point have made provision for your own flesh. Who have made your own list as long as Harry's of all the things that you want. Provision for the flesh to gratify our own desires. It's precisely there. In the fact that Jesus comes for you anyway. In spite of that, in fact, because of that, He comes for you who need a Savior. And He gives you His gifts of love and mercy and forgiveness for the sake of Christ. Is that what you're praying for this Advent? What would your perfect kingdom consist of? There's a movie that we like to watch at our family. I think a Christmas Story? Where Ralphie, all he wants for Christmas is a Red Ryder BB gun with a compass in the stock. His whole world revolves around that. It's a cute movie. By the way, I'd love one of those if anybody's... It's a really a cute movie. But everything focuses on this BB gun for him. Isn't that just like all of us? What is it that you want in your life? What is that perfect gift that you just want this one thing, and if I had this one thing, I'd be happy? You know, sometimes the Lord gives you that one thing, and then you find out, well, it was all right. But then you're on to the next thing. You want something else. Our natural sinful desires want things like our own power, our own prestige, our own being popular, or comfort. Americans, we love comfort. or anything that gives us pleasure. And are those things bad? Not in and of themselves, but because we want them so much. Because we're longing for them. That's the self-love. That's the narcissism that turns us in upon ourselves. Twisted by that, our ideas of God's kingdom become perverted and corrupt. How many of us, I fall into this, think about, okay, heaven is going to be really great because I get as much ice cream as I want, or whatever it is. That's perverse. That's corrupt. That's who we are. But still for sinners like us, Jesus comes because we need Him to. And He gives us a kingdom of love. He calls us out of that darkness and places us in a kingdom of love. How does that kingdom come? When Jesus today calls Himself the Son of Man who comes in judgment, this is the same Son of Man whom Jesus says elsewhere in Matthew's Gospel earlier. He says, the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn Him to death and deliver Him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And He will be raised on the third day. Brothers and sisters in Christ, on His cross, He takes upon Himself all of our narcissism and self-centeredness and self-love. And He does away with it. It is killed on the cross with Him. And all of our guilt that we bear from that, all of the guilt that we bear from our seeking to gratify the desires of our flesh, from our jealousy, our quarreling, our sensuality, our seeking sexual immorality, our drunkenness, our orgies, whatever, all of that He takes to the cross. He takes that to the cross and He takes it to the grave and He buries it there. Our curse. So that you can rise again as He rises on the third day in baptism. So that He can present you to Himself holy and blameless. Just like He sang in the song today. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and be killed and on the third day rise again. This is what must happen. It must happen not for Him, but for you and for me. Because this is what we need. For those who reject and despise God's kingdom, well, if you don't accept His mercy during the day of grace, judgment comes. Our Lord gives the example of that in the days of Noah. So it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. In an instant, everything that they held dear was swept away. And in that same instant, they were swept away. No time for preparation. No time to check the weather report to see if it was safe to go outside or not. No time for repentance. Does that seem fair? No time for repentance. No time for anything. Brothers and sisters in Christ, yes, there is a time for repentance, and it is today. That's how we prepare for the coming of the Son of Man. By repenting and trusting in Him. Repent and believe. St. Peter says in his second letter, if God did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought the flood upon the world of the ungodly, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. This doesn't just apply to them, it applies to us too. We must be prepared for God's judgment at all times and not get caught up in all those things that we hold so prized in our lives. So, how would the Lord have us prepare this Advent? St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the testimony, listen to this, the testimony about Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift. He writes this to the Corinthians who were a congregation divided, because he says, among you, you're not lacking any gift. You're not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. All the gifts that you need, you have. What do they look like? Hope. Hope in the Lord. Knowing where you're going. Knowing that you will stand on the last day. Believers. Love. That love that we talked about. The love that Christ delivers to you on the cross. And in your baptism. And in Holy Communion. And the forgiveness of sins. The love that you can have for God and for your neighbor. Joy. Joy knowing where you're going and who you are in Christ. So that despite all the trials of this world, you can live in joy. And finally, in peace. The peace of God surpasses all understanding. He gives you all of these things and more. You are lacking in no gift. He gives you all the gifts of the Spirit too. I'm not going to go into those. You have them. You're not short of any. This is what God has done for you in Jesus Christ our Lord. So we live in hope. We live in hopeful expectation of Christ's return. We long not for these things that we want in this world, but we long for the return of Christ. When we will always be with the Lord. Always in His presence. Always in His love. Always in His joy. Always in His peace. God grants this to us because of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comes to us in His body and blood today and in His word every day. In Jesus' name, amen.